May I be happy. May all living beings be happy. We chant that every night before we meditate. And we're also advised to think thoughts of goodwill like that at the end of the meditation, too. We chant them beforehand for two reasons. One is to remind us why we're meditating. The chant on happiness is accompanied by the chant on equanimity. All living beings are the owners of their actions. Happiness is not simply a matter of an affirmation. It's something you actually have to do, or it requires causes, actions that you have to do. And where do the actions come from? They come from the mind, from your intentions. So you have to train your intentions if you want to make sure that the results that are going to come out are the ones that you want. Because you look at the intentions of the mind, they pull in all directions. Unless you train them to pull in one direction, which is the direction of true happiness. So that's why we meditate. It's to train our intentions. The second reason why we chant the chant on goodwill is to put the mind in a good mood. Thinking thoughts of goodwill feels good. Goodwill for ourselves, goodwill for other people, no animosity for anybody. It feels good to have those attitudes in mind. And sometimes when we're in the wrong mood, it's good to remind ourselves. That the best happiness is one that doesn't take anything away from anyone else, a happiness that doesn't impede the happiness of other people. And remind ourselves that there is such a thing, the happiness that comes from within. So if in the course of the day you find yourself enmeshed in all kinds of struggles with other people where your happiness seems to be run to cross purposes at their happiness, it puts you in a foul mood. You start looking at the human race as a whole, and all it is just struggle and conflict. Where people are constantly taking advantage of one another. For what purpose? They keep doing it until they run out of steam, and then they die. And then they're replaced by other people. They themselves, after they die, they come back and they start the struggle all over again. And it all seems pointless. And if that were all there was to the human race, it would be a pretty miserable situation. But as the Buddha pointed out, that's not everything. There is a happiness that comes from training the mind, a happiness that comes from doing good things, developing things like integrity, generosity, virtue, concentration, discernment. These are all good things to work on. The causes are good, the results are good. And looking at the human enterprise from this perspective, it takes on a whole new cast. And particularly looking at your human enterprise, your life, what you're going to do with it. It feels a lot better if you can make up your mind that, yes, what you want is true happiness. And remind yourself there is a path to follow. It's this one we're following right here as we sit and meditate. So these are good thoughts to think. They help gets you in the right mood to meditate. Because an important element in the meditation is to come with a good mood to the breath. If you come with a sense of frustration, exasperation, it's going to be reflected in the breath, and then the mind is going to reflect that back at the breath, and then it's like falling into a house of mirrors with a little Gayan Wilson monster. The monster just multiplies. But if you come to the breath with the right attitude, it's a different kind of house of mirrors, or different things get reflected. The breath feels good, the mind feels good, and it gives you a basis for settling down, being on good terms with the breath. Show some goodwill to the breath. And even though we can't say the breath is going to show goodwill back to you, at least it will show some pleasant feelings that you can settle down in. Try to be sensitive to those. All too often we sit here and look at the body, the first thing that pulls our attention are the pains. Hurts there, it's tight there, it's tense here. Then if you focus on those become the little monster in the hall of mirrors. Try to find the spaces between the pains, the parts of the body that feel okay. They don't have to be great, they just have to be relatively pleasant. Then focus on them and allow them to continue to be relatively pleasant. One of the things you have to watch out for is the mind's tendency to tense up the spot where it's focused. So find a spot that feels good and think about keeping it relaxed, keeping it relaxed, keeping it relaxed. As you keep tabs on it. And if you slip off, be good-natured about coming back. As with any skill, it's the people who can laugh at their mistakes and then come back and try to fix them. That's the right attitude to have. If you get frustrated and start beating yourself up, that's the face that's going to fall back into the hall of mirrors. Either the beater or the beaten. Neither of which is something you want to see in repeating infinitely. So when you come back to the breath, come back to the parts that feel good. And learn how to be in a good mood and yet diligent at the same time, persistent at the same time, precise at the same time. It takes some practice, but after all, you find that that's the attitude that's going to get you into comfortable concentration. And one of the whole purposes of the concentration is to be at ease, to have a sense of comfort, a sense of pleasure. Because the insight work that we're going to do, and it will be work, requires that you stay in the present moment for long periods of time so you can watch what's happening. You can follow the trajectory of a cause leading to its result. And to do that, your gaze has to be steady. Your foundation has to be strong. And any kind of foundation that's based on a sense of frustration and strained effort is not going to last. If It's based on a sense of ease, on a sense of belonging here in the present moment. Then it's going to be solid. Very few things will be able to knock it over. So keep bringing that attitude to the breath each time you slip off. Come back and remind yourself, may I be happy. May all living beings be happy. And that way you find it easier to keep coming back, which is what the concentration is all about. Concentration isn't something that's built up from nothing. We all have certain powers of concentration already. If we didn't, we wouldn't be human beings. Or they wouldn't be sane human beings. So in the beginning, you start out with momentary concentration. It's going to last for a while, and then it's going to stop. And then you have to start it up again. Take that as a given. And when you learn how to stay in the spots that feel comfortable and keep them relaxed as you focus on them, that's what's going to allow the concentration to last longer and longer. Until you catch yourself at the point where the normal lifespan of your focus is about ready to give out, and yet you realize you have second wind, and you can keep going, and keep going, keep going, because you've got your source of strength, your source of comfort. That's what the work and concentration is about. You're working at a sense of ease. And that's different from straining, or different from pushing things or tightening things up in order to get them done. The work is in the persistence. Persistence in allowing a relaxed spot of the body to stay relaxed as you watch it. And it's in this way that when you come out of concentration, you'll feel goodwill as well. And this time you can spread thoughts of goodwill to other beings, and you'll have a different quality. It really is a gift to them, because it's coming from a sense of goodwill that's already there. Rather than a reminder to yourself, it's more a natural outcome of the concentration that you've been doing.